Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it is wonderful to be here again this morning. Feels like it's been a while since I've been up here. And I had been planning to do a certain message for a few weeks, but that got changed on me a couple days ago, and we're going to be looking at something else today. I know that used to happen to my dad all the time, and it's quite an experience when that happens, but I believe that this is a very important and timely message that the Lord wants me to bring forth today, and that's what we're going to be doing. But before we start, I'd like to open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this opportunity to gather in thy name. We thank thee for this opportunity to worship you and to study thy holy word. We ask that thy spirit would flow here today with us and upon each and every one in attendance. We ask, O Lord, that you would fill us all with thy spirit, and that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to perceive, and eyes to see what thy scriptures would have us to know. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, to start with today, I'd like to open to the Gospel of Luke, the very last chapter, chapter 24. I'm going to call this message today, Power from on High. Now, to set the stage for what's happening here in Luke chapter 4, Jesus had already gone to the cross, he'd been crucified, and at this stage he had risen after 3 days and three nights in that grave. He had risen from the dead. And his disciples were about to find out about this. They didn't know yet. So, Luke chapter 24, verse 1, it tells us, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. So, even though Jesus had explained before his crucifixion that he would rise again, they had forgotten about that. And, you know, they went to his grave, they brought some spices and things, and he wanted to do something nice, but he wasn't there. The stone was rolled away, which is a miracle in and of itself. And Jesus had left the grave. He had risen again. Praise the Lord. Just as he said he would. So we have these two angels there, and they ask him, Why are you here? You know, Jesus said he would rise again. Did you forget? Praise the Lord. And verse 8 tells us, And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Pretty remarkable, actually. It was all women who first discovered that Jesus had risen again. And of course, when they went to tell the rest of the apostles and the disciples, they didn't believe it. Tell us in verse 11, And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So Peter He had to go check this out for himself. It says he ran onto the sepulcher, wanted to see what's going on. And what do you know? They were telling the truth. He's not there. I'm sure that was a surprise for him too. And continuing on in verse 13, it tells us, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." So this is really something, what's happening here. You've got a couple of guys walking along and they're talking about what had just happened with Jesus, and all of a sudden, Jesus appears unto them himself, but of course, they didn't recognize him, not at first, as we'll see from subsequent verses. But this is really something, what's happening here. "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad?" So basically, he's just asking them, "Well, why are you so sad?" And Jesus certainly wasn't sad. "And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" Yeah, basically they're asking, "You new around here? Haven't you heard about what's going on?" "And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." They still didn't quite understand. Oh, he had just redeemed Israel. He had not only redeemed Israel, he had redeemed all of us. That's what his sacrifice brought forth. They didn't understand that yet, but they would very soon. Verse 22. "Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them, which were with us, went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them." That must have been quite the teaching to have Jesus Christ himself expound upon the scriptures. Oh, I would have loved to have been there. But thankfully, we have this holy word we can look to. And this is also the word of God. And there are great and many wonderful things we can learn from this holy book. So they, he made it seem like he was going to keep going, but they asked him, abide with us. They wanted him to stay because I'm sure the teaching was very remarkable and they wanted to hear more. "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." So finally, they recognized him. But then he vanished, which must have seemed a little frustrating for them, I'm sure. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. Of course, there had been 12 disciples, and Judas had betrayed Jesus, so now there were only 11. And that is who is being referred to in that verse there, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, they couldn't believe it, you know, just couldn't believe it. But it says they were believed not for joy. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Praise the Lord. And he can do the same thing for you. If you're ever confused about something you read in the scriptures, Jesus can open your understanding. And said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Something amazing was about to happen. We're about to see the establishment of the Christian church for the very first time. And repentance and remission of sins was going to be preached throughout all the nations. Of course, it tells us here it would start at Jerusalem. Verse 49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." We all need that power from on high. And we're going to look at some examples of that power today. I'll finish reading the chapter just to close it out, and then after that we're going to look at the book of Acts. "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen." Now what I'd like to do now is go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. And the book of Acts actually could be considered a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. They were both written by Luke. And actually for a while, Luke and Acts were considered one book, but they were subsequently divided, and we have the Acts of the Apostles and the Gospel of Luke. But they were both written by the same man. And he actually makes reference to that here in verse 1 when he talks about the former treatise. what he's referencing there is the Gospel of Luke. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So Jesus actually stayed a while after his resurrection. He was with them for 40 days. And I'm sure those were a very wonderful 40 days when he taught them from the scriptures. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? They were still a little confused. They didn't quite understand what Jesus had come to do. It wasn't his purpose to restore the kingdom of Israel. He came to fulfill all the prophecies and to bring salvation to all who would repent. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And that also applies to when he will return. Nobody knows the day or the hour. I know a lot of people thought the world would end on December 21st. That didn't happen, of course. And I had no doubt in my mind that we would still be here on the 22nd, because although no one knows the day or the hour, if someone actually predicts a day when the world's going to end, you can be sure it won't. Verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Again, we hear about that power that we would be endued with. Of course, that also applies to us today. That hasn't changed. I know some people believe that it has changed, but we still can have that power. We're going to read about some of the examples of that power shortly. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. That's good news. He's coming back the same way he left. And I think many of us are going to get to witness that personally. We don't know that for sure, but the way things are going, it may not be too much longer before our Savior returns. Verse 12. Well, actually, what I'd like to do now is go to Acts chapter 3. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the examples of this power that had been given to the Christian believers of that day. Of course, in Acts chapter 2, I won't go into that now because it's quite lengthy and I've covered it before in other messages. But in Acts chapter 2, that's the chapter wherein the Holy Ghost was actually poured out at Pentecost, and they were endued with that power. And now, in chapter 3, we get to see that power in action. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at that hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. So we have this lame man. He'd never walked before, and every day they'd bring him to the temple at the gate, which was called Beautiful, and he would ask alms, and that's how he survived. There wasn't much else he could do. He couldn't walk. He was lame, and he'd always been lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked before. So he was hoping that Peter and John, he saw them going in. He was hoping maybe they could give him a little money. But we're going to see that they gave him something far better than money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." So they say to him, "Look at us." And I'm sure he was expecting to get a little money from them, but he was about to get something far greater. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He certainly did receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. What a miracle. This man had never walked before. He was lame from birth. Even a young child, when he's learning to walk, he can't just start walking right away. He has to learn, and it takes some time to do that. This was a miracle. This man didn't even have to learn to walk. He could just walk. And it was the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, working through Peter and John that brought this about. So he was very excited, obviously. He is walking and leaping and praising God. And there's nothing wrong with doing that today if you ever feel so compelled. It's always a good thing to do. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. They all knew this guy. He'd been, asking for alms in front of that gate for quite some time. They recognized him. They knew he had been lame from his mother's womb. He had never walked before. And look at him now. They were amazed. Verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So they all ran up. They wanted to see what was going on. A great miracle had just happened. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" There again we see the word power. At this point they had been endued with that power from on high. And it was through that power they were able to help this man, to heal this man, and allow him to walk. Verse 13, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." And of course, that's referencing Barabbas, the thief, which they asked to be released instead of Jesus. "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers." So he's saying, I hope that you didn't understand what you were doing when you did what you did. But these people, despite all of that, they had a chance at redemption. They had a chance to repent. As we all do, praise the Lord. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. And of course we know in John chapter 14, Jesus promised to send the Comforter, and we know that the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. It's a very serious offense when you reject the Savior. And those verses bear that out. Verse 24. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. This had all been prophesied of long ago, and it was now being fulfilled. I'm sure this must have been perhaps the most exciting time in all the history of mankind. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And the way all the kindreds of the earth were blessed was through Jesus Christ. Yeah. And that is a blessing that we today are partakers of. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And we'll continue on in chapter 4. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So the religious elite of that time, they were quite unhappy with what was happening here. Jesus was being preached, and I'm sure, you know, just prior to that point, they were hoping, well, we finally got rid of that guy. But nope, you never get rid of Jesus. And then now, you know, with this miracle, that put them in a real bind, as we'll see in the verses we're about to read. So what could they do? It says, and they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. What do you do with guys who are out there performing miracles in the name of Jesus? Well, you know, you got to lock them up. Can't be having that. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. So they were all gathered together, all the religious higher-ups, and they were going to have a little meeting concerning what to do about this, because they didn't want the gospel of Jesus spreading through the land. That was the last thing they wanted, but there was nothing they could do to stop it. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have ye done this? And we see that word again, power. They were endued with power from on high. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And of course, that's a very interesting verse when you consider the religious leader at that time. They were actually early Freemasons, really. And what do Freemasons call themselves? Builders. It was very interesting when you consider it in that light. Verse 12. I like this one. This is one of the best verses in the whole Bible, I think. Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is only salvation through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. I know they say there are many paths to heaven. Some of the religious people out there today, and they drive around with their little coexist bumper stickers, but it tells us here, salvation is through Jesus Christ only. I'll read it again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus? Can people tell by the way you behave, by the Spirit that flows through you, by the power from on high? And of course we know that when we're baptized in the name of Jesus, when we go down in that water, Jesus Christ himself is there with you in that water. You are buried with him. You rise to walk in newness of life. So if you have been baptized in the name of Jesus, you can tell people that you have been with Jesus, and they will take note. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how intelligent you are. You could be unlearned, you could be ignorant, and the Holy Ghost will flow through you and fill you and give you the words to speak. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. What could they do? The man had been healed. It was a wonderful miracle. He was standing right there. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. This is quite a conundrum for them. They didn't know what to do. They couldn't deny it happened. Many people had witnessed it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. You know what? That never works. In fact, when you persecute Christians, they only grow stronger. That's particularly apparent today in China. Most people don't realize this, but there are actually 20 million Christians in China. Of course, it seems like a lot, but we must remember that that's actually just a very small portion of their population. Still, there are many underground churches in China, and they're growing. The Chinese government, they keep trying to stop it. And in fact, I wrote a little something about that in my latest newsletter. They were complaining, blaming the governments of the West, saying that they try to export Christianity to China to overthrow the communist government. But when you persecute Christians, they just grow stronger. And it never works. And of course, we'll see that it didn't work here in the book of Acts either. But they thought, okay, well, there's nothing we can do. We'll just try to threaten these guys and hope that works. And, of course, it did not. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were excited. They couldn't hold it in. They couldn't help but tell everyone they saw about God and what they had done for them. You know, we should be the same way. We should be so excited about what God is doing in our lives that we can't help but share it. And of course, we know that when we're commanded by governments to not obey the Lord, we need to obey the Lord anyway. Daniel was another good example of that. When they told him he couldn't pray anymore, he just kept praying. We know how that turned out. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Can you imagine? He was over 40 years old, had never walked before, and now he was walking and leaping and praising God. It's really hard to imagine going that long without walking. You know, I'm only 29 myself, and this guy was quite a bit older than I am. But it was a great miracle. And it was that power from on high that made it possible. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the kings were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They weren't afraid. They weren't afraid of those threatenings. They were praying, Lord, give us boldness, and we can bring forth the gospel all the more by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by thy name, by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and that were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That was quite a prayer. They were so full of the Holy Ghost that the building itself shook. I want to see that happen here.
Amen.
I think we all want to see that happen here. And it can. You know, I remember services where things like that happened. I remember one service where my dad was up here preaching, and a rushing mighty wind came up and kind of shook the building a little bit. It hadn't been windy outside at all. This wind just came up and then it was gone. But the Spirit of God had filled this place. And I believe we're going to see that again. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Well, that's kind of nice. They shared everything. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Oh, praise the Lord, we need that great grace. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold, them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Of course, whatever our needs may be, the Lord has a way to provide for them. We can be sure of that. We don't need to worry about that. Sometimes it's hard not to worry about that, especially the way things are today. And the economy is still bad, and they talk about a fiscal cliff and all that, and taxes going up. But we just have to trust in God. He'll take care of us. What I'd like to do now, let's go to Acts chapter 8 and look at some more miracles. In Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 5, it tells us, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God." Of course, they were mistaken about that. This Simon character had been using sorcery, which is not of God. "And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Praise the Lord.
Amen.
"Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, Give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost." And of course, that was a grave error on the part of Simon. It was quite obvious that he had not been fully converted, despite being baptized. He was a worldly guy, and he thought, well, they're laying their hands on these people, and they're receiving the Holy Ghost. I want to do that too. Maybe if I offer them some money, then they can pass that gift on to me. But you can't bribe God with money. You can't, look up to heaven and say, "Hey, God, I'll give you $50 if you fill me with the Holy Ghost." That's not going to work. No, God doesn't care about your money. These are spiritual matters. But Peter said unto him, Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. You cannot purchase the gift of God with money. And the word simony, actually, when that's used today, that's in reference of trying to purchase the things of God with money. That's where that word came from. It's in reference to Simon the sorcerer here in this chapter. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. So I'm sure those are not the words Simon wanted to hear. I mean, at that point, he was probably a little scared of what might happen to him. It tells us in verse 24, Then answered Simon and said, Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. So what we see here, the gospel is already starting to spread, and it's spreading quickly. Thousands of people were being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You don't see that too often these days, but thankfully we still see baptisms. We saw six last week, and we're going to see two more today. Praise the Lord. So the work that was started so long ago, just after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, continues to this day. And we're going to see another miracle here in chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 26, it tells us, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So this was a very powerful man, this Ethiopian eunuch. And despite all that, he loved God. He came to Jerusalem for worship, and we can see that he loved the scriptures as he was reading them in his chariot. And the Lord held so much regard for what this man was doing that he actually sent Philip to him. And we'll see why Philip was sent. So it says, And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So this man was very eager to hear about what was being read there in the book of Isaiah. He wanted to know what it all meant. And of course, we'll see in these subsequent verses that it was a prophecy regarding Jesus. And of course, the book of Isaiah, there are many prophecies regarding Jesus. It's a wonderful book. And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer. So opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? He was about to find out about Jesus. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? That was an eager man. You don't see that too often. They were riding along in his chariot, and he sees water, and he says, What doth hinder me to be baptized? He wanted to be baptized right away. Now that is some remarkable faith. I just love that. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Praise the Lord. Well, there are many wonderful examples of miracles in the book of Acts. There's so much more we could go to. In closing, I'd like to go to one more short portion of Scripture in Acts chapter 19. Now at this point, Paul, who had been Saul of Tarsus and was persecuting the church, he had been miraculously converted. And he was now a mighty servant of the Lord. In fact, he wrote over half of the New Testament. And the Lord greatly used the Apostle Paul to carry out his work. And we're going to see an example of that work here in chapter 19 of Acts. Acts 19, verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. They had never heard of the Holy Ghost before, but they were about to. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. And that's the proper way to do it. That's what we're going to be seeing later today, in just a little while. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Those 12 men, they were endued with power from on high, just as the disciples and the apostles and the converts in the book of Acts, thousands of them. It must have been a sight to behold, and I'm sure they had some very wonderful worship sessions. Can you imagine thousands of people together in the same place, filled with the Holy Ghost? Insomuch that the buildings would shake when they worshiped and prayed. But we can have that too. We can have that power from on high, and we can be filled with the Holy Ghost. It was promised unto us. And the promises of the Lord are sure. If you've not yet received the Holy Ghost, we need to reach out for that power from on high. And if you seek Him with a whole heart, He will give it to you. Praise the Lord. Well, that is the message for today. I would like to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee for Thy many lessons that Thou hast taught us in Scripture. We thank Thee for the wonderful book of Acts, which has taught us so much. We thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy Holy Ghost, which we know we can have, for that power from on high. I pray that Thou would bless each and every person here today and those who are online with that power from on high, with Thy Holy Ghost. I pray that we would all seek it with our whole hearts, Lord, and that Thou wouldst bless each and every one of us. Go with us today, I pray, and let us not forget the words of Thy Holy Scriptures. I ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to sing a chorus in closing, and those who are going to be baptized, if you'd like to go get ready for that, you can do so now. And I guess we'll go ahead and sing number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. And Tim, if you'd like to come up and maybe lead a few more songs before we go into baptism, that would be great.